New heading, the Trim Tab Spirit. You can see that no matter what issue, problem, or concern you have, you can empower yourself by taking initiative in some way. Be sensitive, be wise, be careful regarding time, but do something about the situation. Avoid complaining, criticizing, or being negative. Be especially wary of absolving yourself from responsibility and simply blaming them for failures. We live in a culture of blame. A full 70% of XQ respondents see that people in their organization tend to blame others when things go wrong. So taking responsibility will mean swimming against the cultural current. Taking initiative requires vision, some standard to be met, or some improvement to be achieved. It requires discipline in the doing. It requires getting your heart and your passion into it, and doing it in a conscience-directed or principled way toward a worthy end. Tom Peters describes the Trim Tab attitude and spirit this way. Winners, no kidding, adore crummy jobs. Why? Because those jobs allow lots and lots of space. Nobody cares. Nobody is watching. You're on your own. You are king. You can get your hands dirty, make mistakes, take risks, perform miracles. The most common lament of the unempowered is that they don't have the space to do anything cool. To which I unfailingly reply, rubbish. Bottom line, relish the little assignment or chore that no one else wants. Seek it out. It's a license for self-empowerment. Whether it's the redesign of a form or planning a weekend client retreat, you can turn it into something grand and glorious and wow. Close quote. Once I served as the administrative assistant to the president of a university. In many ways, he was dictatorial, controlling, always assumed he knew what was best, and would make all the important decisions. On the other hand, he was a visionary, a brilliant, talented person. But he treated everyone like a gopher. Go for this, go for that. As if they didn't have a mind. These highly educated, motivated men and women gradually became disenchanted and then disempowered. They would stand around the executive corridors complaining about the president. I can't believe what he did. You know, let me tell you the latest. Oh, you think that's bad. You ought to see what he did when he came into our department. Really? I'd never heard that. Yeah, I've been in a job where I've been so constricted and straitjacketed by all these foolish rules and this bureaucracy. It's bogging me down. You know, they'd spend hours massaging each other's hearts with such comments. Then there was Ben. He simply took another approach. He went straight to the third level of empowerment and initiative. Even though he, too, was treated like a gopher, he decided to start at the make-a-recommendation level. He decided to be the best gopher around. This earned him credibility, ethos. He would then anticipate the president's needs and the reasons behind the gopher requests, ethos. He would say inside himself, now let's see, why does the president want this information? I'll bet he's preparing for a board meeting and he wants me to gather data on how many university campus securities around the country carry sidearms, because he's getting criticized about our approach. I think I'll help him prepare for that board meeting. Ben came to a preliminary meeting, presented his gopher data, then went the second mile in analysis and recommendations. The president turned to me, speechless. Then he turned back to Ben and said, I want you to come to the board meeting and make the recommendation. Your analysis is brilliant. You anticipated exactly what the need is. Everyone else on the staff had bought into the silent conspiracy of wait until told. But not Ben. He exercised the initiative by empathizing with the president, by determining what it was he really wanted and needed. Ben started out with a relatively low position, but pretty soon he was regularly making presentations to the board. Logos. His motto was, compliment. Don't criticize your boss. Compliment, P-L-E. Compliment your boss. I worked in that role for 4 years. By the end of the fourth year, Ben was the second most influential person on the campus, even though he hadn't risen through the academic ranks. The president would not make any significant moves without Ben's blessing. When Ben retired, there was a special recognition award put in his name. Why? Because he modeled trustworthiness, loyalty to the university, and the willingness to do whatever it took, and the exercise of initiative and self-empowerment. I think Ben understood the futility of wishing for something to be different. Can you see in this story how leadership can become a choice? Can you see how you, too, can become the leader of your boss, as Ben did? So when we say that leadership is a choice, it basically means you can choose the level of initiative you want to exercise in response to this question: what is the best I can do under the circumstances? You will always need to make judgment calls regarding these seven levels of initiative. It takes judgment and wisdom to know what level of initiative to exercise, what you should do, how you should do it, when you should do it, and perhaps most importantly, why you should do it. This will take all four intelligences. The why question usually taps into spiritual intelligence because it gets at your value system, the source of motivation. The what to do question usually taps into your intellectual intelligence as you think analytically, strategically, and conceptually. The when to do it and how to do it questions usually tap into your emotional intelligence as you read the environment, sense the cultural and political operating norms, and discern your own strengths and weaknesses. The doing intelligence will also come into play as you carry out your intentions and tactically implement the how. When you wisely use initiative through all seven levels of initiative, you'll find that your circle of influence will get larger and larger until it encompasses your entire job. Interestingly, and this almost always happens, as your circle of influence enlarges, so too does your circle of concern. A trim tab leader is constant, like a lighthouse, not a weather vane, a constant, dependable source of light, not someone who twists and turns with every social wind. As you take this inside-out, initiative-seizing approach, people in formal positions will have increasing confidence in your character and competence. Trust will increase. It is almost inevitable that they will want to build higher and higher levels of initiative and empowerment into your job. You will find yourself becoming the leader of your boss, and your boss will naturally become part of a complementary team as servant leader. Now let's see the film. This film is called Mauritius. You will find it on the companion DVD to the book. Not only organizations or individuals can be trim tabs, this film illustrates how an entire country or society could trim tab its own success and culture, in spite of profound ethnic, racial, cultural, and other differences. In fact, it is not in spite of, but simply because of the differences, that they have produced such remarkable cultural strengths. The statements given at the beginning of the film were accurate as of the time of its production. Some conditions in Mauritius have changed, including increased pockets of social strife. But the real point of the story is not that Mauritius is a perfect society. It is that whatever challenges we may face, whether individually, as families, as organizations, or even as nations, we can work within our circle of influence and creatively trim-tab our way through them.